Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jamie Dawn Show. It happens to be live today. I am live on Monday, July 1st, Rabbit Rabbit, to all of you who know what that means. On the 1st of July or the 1st of each month, we always say Rabbit Rabbit because, it brings in abundance. It helps to set the mindset, for fertility and what else we're bringing in. So, Rabbit, rabbit, and what are we bringing in? All of you are bringing in your beautiful energy. Thank you. And thank you, Jay, for producing and for being at the helm here. And if it's your first time joining, then welcome. And if you want to come into the chat room, I will check it throughout the show and see if there's anything at all that may be up for you. And I've got a lot to talk about, but if you haven't been in the chat room before, it is private, so you will need to wave, dancing, bribe, whatever it might be for Jay to let you in by going to the 12radio.com page, and you'll see a button on the left-hand side that says chat, and you just click on that, and it'll take you right into our Facebook chat room when Jay lets you in. So grateful. I'm grateful. Grateful to be here with you. Grateful to have woken up today. And I have a lot to cover. As some of you know, I release my Celestial Wisdom video every week, or at least every other week when I can. And I mentioned it was my 50th birthday. Thank you for all the birthday wishes. That's so appreciated. And I went skydiving. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that. And I've got tomatoes, which is why I'm a little bit late to the show. So I'll talk about that too. And we're going to talk about the cards of the week, and we're going to talk about just what's up. So sit back, get comfy for a second. And as I like to do, my little frog in my throat, as I like to do to get us heart-centered for the show, if you want to join me by. If you can, if you're listening in the car, you probably shouldn't close your eyes. But if you're at a place where you can, just close your eyes and invite the mind into quietude. It's not necessarily to stop the mind from moving, but we know that if the eyes are moving, the mind follows. So this just invites the mind to get quiet. And in doing so, it allows our body to become quiet. And in that quiet space, that doesn't mean nothing's going on. It means that we get to set an interior state for training ourselves to put the mind where we choose. So we're making a conscious choice to focus on the breath, on the body, and that where attention goes, energy flows. So as we breathe into the body, and we feel our body relax for just a moment. It calms the parasympathetic nerve. That is scientific. So if you feel a little stressful, if the weekend was a little crazy, you've got the Monday blues, whatever it might be, this breath, this conscious breath, allows you to just let go and to be present in the moment, to ground and to relax. And then, with permission, to open. And it's from this place of openness that we welcome everything. And as we welcome everything, we recognize that with our training and our intention and the way that we can move energy and ground it, that nothing has to throw us off our center. And where is our center? It's our heart. So, placing our attention on that heart space, breathing into the heart, and opening, and just allowing. For those who have ears to hear, the heart is a beautiful organ of perception, and that's what we're doing. And so when you're ready, you can open your eyes and listen from maybe a new view. Don't rush too quickly to look around. Just notice what's happening. So as you listen to my voice and you listen to the information and the stories and the words, welcome yourself, all of yourself right here, and play with me. Let's just spend this next hour or so playing. And like I mentioned, I went skydiving. And it's pretty amazing because I went with my daughter and her husband, my son-in-law, who is the musician for my music at the beginning of my show. And it was so funny because everybody was asking me, "Are you scared? Are you getting nervous?" You know, leading up to it, I was like, "No, not a single breath inside of me was afraid." And why is that? Well, some of the, I guess the biggest takeaway I had with the skydiving was the amount of trust that I had, not only in myself in making the decision to go and to actually to follow through with it, but the trust, the level of trust that I had to have in a complete stranger who said that he knew what he was doing and that it wasn't his first jump. But I imagine that the company has been in business, they have been in business for many years, that they wouldn't invite someone to risk their life if they didn't know what they were doing. So the level of trust that was involved in all of that was deep. And of course, it brought me back to reminding myself that I should have that kind of trust, level of trust within myself, because I'm the only one living my life, making my choices, making my decisions, having my experiences. Why am I an expert at being Jamie? Because I'm the only one who is Jamie, and I've got 50 years on it. So you know what? Trust. It's something we all struggle with as human beings, and I still wrestle with it, but man, that was such a cool takeaway for me. And of course, the experience itself was amazing because here I am in Reno, Nevada, and I have access to Lake Tahoe, which I consider to be the most beautiful destination, the most beautiful place in the world. And where we took off and where we were flying over, we could see the entire lake. And even though I didn't jump directly over the lake, I was able to view it and to also to be able to view this place that I call home. And to just fall in love with the way that the creator, great spirit, universe, whatever source you want to call it, created. I created, because it's all a projection of my mind. I created this experience to enjoy, and it was breathtaking. And so having those kinds of moments, it just reminded me, it brought me back to bone. It brought me back to innocence. And you know what? I have to tell you, that's exactly where we're at when it comes to the energy this week and moving through the month of July with the Cancerian and Leo energy. We're coming back to innocence. We're coming back to the beginning. And the reason that I point to that, and I'll get further into that, but the reason I point to that is that for I'll use astrology because that's something that I study and enjoy and use as a tool for putting words and clothing, if you will, around concepts. But in astrology, the sun and moon are actually the entry point for creation. So when you look at it from a zodiacal aspect, you've got Aries, obviously, is the beginning of spring, the beginning of the zodiacal signs. And yet, it is the sun and the moon archetypes, the mother, father, the sun and moon planets or luminaries, should we say, that rule Leo Cancer, that is the beginning of creation. And so it's through the personality that we express that creation. And when you're looking at it from an astrological standpoint, the rising sign, the ascendant, is first house, and that is where the personality is formed. So keep that in mind. I won't go too deep into that right now because I'm not here to give you an astrological lesson. I'll leave that up to others that enjoy doing that sort of thing. And I'm happy to offer astrological lessons on a separate thing, but not on the show today. I want to meet you guys where you're at, where I'm at, and hopefully offer something that can be of benefit as we navigate this crazy town, this crazy thing called life. Because, man, it is a roller coaster ride, and I know you know it. But I mentioned in my Celestial Wisdom video about the card of the week that I pulled, which was the Sun, which I love. I think it's so appropriate. I feel like this week in particular, we can start to feel some hope and abundance, and we can feel more positive. The sun gives us strength, and it tells us that no matter where we are, where we go, what we do, that we can have happiness and joy. And not because we're chasing something. You know, people say, I want to be happy. We get what we want because we want to be happy. Well, in the Buddhist tradition, for those of you who are familiar, the wanting is what creates the unhappiness, because the minute we get it, we want something else. So the abundance, the positivity, the joy comes by appreciating the moment. And I think, again, that just got so reiterated to me with the skydiving of appreciating that moment. You may or may not laugh, but at mystery school, at Nine Gates Mystery School, we practice to live in a way that we know is our last moment. This could be my last breath that I take. This could be the last words that I say. May I die a good death. Why? Because we have a philosophy that when we die, that how we die is just as important. Because it's a gateway to liberation and it's a contribution to the greater good. And that if I'm living my awake life, my human life, from a place of consciousness and awareness and being of benefit and doing no harm, why wouldn't I want my consciousness, when it leaves my physical body, to offer the same? So I share all that to say that I did in splurge and bought the video of my skydiving. And so they interview me at the beginning, and my jump master, his call name was Batman. So appropriate, right? And so Batman says to me, he goes, "So why is today such a special day?" And I said, "Well, it's my 50th." And he says, "Yeah, and what just makes it really amazing for you?" And I said, "It's a good day to die." And I laughed. He was like, "No, it's your birthday. Why are you know?" And he didn't, he of course, I didn't expect him to understand that. But really, it was my way. It's like the samurai or the warriors of ancient times, where they would say, "Yeah, die a good death. It's time." Because that's really, you know, we're constantly the warriors of the heart, the warriors of spirit, the warriors of life, you know? I applaud all of us for showing up for ourselves, for each other, for our loved ones. We're all fighting through something, you know? So it's a good day to die. And it's a great day to live. I'm not negating that, because it's in the death. It's in the knowing that death is right around the corner that gives me the gift of life, that gives me the appreciation for being able to smile and say, good morning, I'm here. So we have the sun to remind us of that, to remind us that we can expect maybe some increases in our physical energy, vitality. This is a time where we get to really pay attention to what kind of energy we are giving off as well. So that was all part of my celestial wisdom, my YouTube. Now, I do also want to pull a card for us for the radio show. And I'll have Joan, my wonderful assistant, after Jay, my wonderful producer, gives me a copy. She'll post it as well, so you get to hear it again. But I want to give a card for the week for the radio show as well. And it's an added energy booster. And I believe that it'll resonate with many of us, myself, anyone listening. So as I am shuffling, you probably can't hear it, but that's okay. As I am shuffling my cards, and I'm using my Celtic Tarot deck, which I love so much, and feeling that now is the time to stop. And we pulled the Six of Swords. So, if you're familiar with the swords energy, it has to do with the mind, the mental energy. It has to do with words and thoughts, yeah, and air. And so, I think it's very appropriate that as we have the sun energizing us, that we also have to continue to watch the movement of the mind. Why? Because our mind, as you've heard me say so many times, creates stories. It creates all kinds of experiences in our own world that we've made up that may or may not be true. So here we have the Six of Swords, and it's inviting us that we're in a state of transition. We're leaving behind what was familiar. We're moving towards an unknown. And I'm sure many of us are feeling that way. Some of us may be moving houses or leaving a relationship or changing jobs. We just had a full moon. So some things were happening or setting us up for a change and transition. We can feel it coming. But I love the Six of Swords because we know that this movement forward, this transition time, it's essential for our growth. It's essential for our personal development. And so instead of cursing the transition, instead of cursing the what we left behind, we can accept it. We can feel whatever emotions come up with it. Maybe it's a mixed bag. Maybe it's joy and elation. Maybe it's sadness and grief. Whatever it is, we know we can trust. Here comes that trust. We can trust that it's going to be replaced by something greater. And that if we can be in that place of surrender, which is another big takeaway from the skydiving for me, I had to not only trust, but I had to surrender to the process. I just had to let go. And the gift of jumping out of that plane was when I was strapped to Batman. And we threw our legs over the little two-seater prop plane. I didn't have time to really think about what was happening next. We just went. And so the Six of Swords is asking us to trust that we just went through a transition and now surrender. Just go for it. Don't fight it. Just be with it and don't overthink things. You know? So we want to take time to reflect on the things we learn and how we can do things differently moving forward, but we don't want to get lost in that analysis paralysis or that rumination, nostalgia, if you will, of the past, you know? So, yeah, this week we're going to find the energy to be more positive because we can let go of the burdens, we can let go of the things that may have been holding us back. And the other thing I love about this reminder with the Six of Swords and the transition is that it does take us back to bone. It takes us back to this innocence. It stripped us away of something that was old, outdated, that was no longer available to us to be of service. You know, it wasn't serving us anymore. So it's like, you know, as we say, if we don't do it consciously, the universe has a wonderful way of doing it for us. And so what we're doing is we are taking that energy and we are saying, I surrender it now. Give me a moment to integrate. Give me a moment to come back to basics, if you will, a moment to just be here. And as I mentioned, now that we have the sun officially in Cancer, and then it will transition into the sign of Leo around the 22nd of the month, we are invited to bring in the elements of Cancer Leo, the archetypes, that mother, father, the fire and water, where they meet. And that we know that too much fire on water can boil and too much water on fire can dampen or put out that spark. So what we're working with is finding that beautiful balance of the two, because when the two come together and they are the water's nurturing that fire, what gets created is life. So you have the spark of creation inserted into the womb of water, of life. And then together, as with this gentleness, this openness, this gentle warming, if you will, something new gets formed. Life can form. And so that's what we're being invited into. And that, yes, birthing can be painful and all of that sort of thing, but we're not birthing this week. I'm not saying things aren't happening and whatnot, but what we're doing right now is we are impregnating our mental, emotional, spiritual bodies, if you will. Some of you may be impregnating your physical bodies too. Go for it if that's something you want. But this is such a fertile time to be able to come back to the innocence of ourselves, our desires, and saying, you know what, before I lost my motivation for that, or before my plans went awry, or before, you know, whatever detracted me from the things that I desire most for myself, who I am at my core, at my essence, why did I want that? Why did I even have that desire? So peel back those layers. Spend some time going, what do I desire? And maybe it's something that I set down that I don't know, got discouraged, or somebody judged me and I took my toys and went home, or, told me I couldn't do it and I believed them, whatever it is, and let it go. I'm at a place now, and maybe this is the gift of 50. Everybody says 50s are fabulous, which I would like to believe. I thought 40s were great too, but apparently 50s are even better. Whatever better may be. I think the gift I have, and this is where one of my girlfriends and I were joking, or not joking, she says, she goes, great thing about 50, she's 55. She said, I don't give a fuck anymore. I was like, yeah, I kind of appreciate that too. I've had that mindset for a while, at least externally. Internally, I think I still get, bothered by some things. And I woke up this morning, and where I'm going with this is that I feel more vulnerable, and that it's okay to be more vulnerable at 50 than I was in my, earlier years. And so the vulnerability is that I woke up this morning, and the voice in my head that brought me to my knees, I mean, I was in tears, and it was, I don't want to be tough anymore. Huh. It's an interesting phrase, or shadow, if you will, that a mask that I would wear, that was coming up for me to really look at, and to sit with. And I don't have all the answers with it, or explanations to it at this moment. But what I can tell you from what I've been unraveling is that it reminded me, when I got to the core of it, that the part of the reason that I would wear this mask of being tough, nothing bothered me, I can handle it, it was because I was, well, it's just the way I was raised, right? And conditioned and things like that. But what it did is it brought me back to that moment of who was I before I had to put that mask on. And yes, I do believe that we're all this beautiful essence, this one consciousness, experience life in our own unique ways, and we come from this essence and source. But I think for me, what was really working me over was that concept of innocence, and really getting back to what does that mean, and not being tough allows me to be open and to be soft. And that doesn't mean necessarily taken advantage of, even though that could happen. But that also happens through naivety. And innocence and naivety are very different, because naivety is more about a lack of experience, wisdom, or judgment, right? Whereas innocence is that we're not guilty of a crime or offense. This is all the dictionary, right? We're not responsible for or directly involved in an event, yet we're suffering from its consequences. And so, as I was thinking about it and contemplating this, and I thought it was just perfect material for the radio show, is that in this place of innocence, we're not negating the experiences in our life, the negative experiences. But we're not saying, oh, I didn't do anything. I'm not responsible for anything. I'm not responsible if somebody cheated on me or abused me or whatever. That's not my responsibility. I'm not taking their bad behavior on. But I am. But what makes me innocent is that I don't have to own that behavior, but I do get to empower myself with choice. And that I can say, yeah, you know what? I've had some tough experiences, and I chose to either stay, or I chose to enable, or I made choices during those times. I always had a choice. Even if I didn't think I did at the time, I can reflect back and go, yeah, I always had a choice. So I can return to my innocence by saying, whatever I'm faced with in this moment, I can choose differently. And the thing about innocence that I love too is it reminds us to stay curious. It reminds us to stay open and courageous, not unafraid. Because I think that's the one thing too that I continue to wrestle with when people say, you're fearless, or you don't seem like you're afraid of anything. I had a master teacher, my HUNA teacher. We had just gone through an experience, and once you go through the experience, he's a sensei, a black belt ninjutsu master. And after the experience, he would sit right at the edge, and your job when you were done was to go and look at him, to sit in front of him, let him see where you're at energetically, right? And he could pierce you. I mean, it was just, I don't know if you've ever sat in front of a basically like a samurai master, but this is the way Mark is. But anyways, and so I went through the experience, and I remember looking at him. And he asked me, he says, what are you afraid of? And all I could think of in my mind, because my rebellious nature kicked in, all I could think of was, that's all you got, motherfucker? That was the, I'm too tough. And so I reflected on that for a good 24 hours afterwards, and I went back to him the next day and I said, Mark, you asked me what I'm afraid of. And I said, I'm afraid of everything. And he said, yet it's courage that says, I feel the fear, but I'm still going to make a choice about what actions I'm going to take. So, and that stuck with me. So, you know what? It's okay to feel fear. It's okay to be afraid. What we do with it is what's important. So, innocence reminds us to be courageous, which is to feel the fear and take right action, to be battled but not hardened by it. I was sharing something with someone very close to me, and we were talking about grief, and they've been through quite a bit, and they're still processing a lot of grief. And I said, you know, sometimes I wish I could sit with people's pain and take it away because it can feel so overwhelming and it's so hard. But you know what? It doesn't, that pain, those experiences, that grief, it's what shapes us, but it doesn't have to define us. And I've noticed the story now feels different when we talk about it. So it was a good reminder for myself that our experiences that can either harden us if we choose, or they can empower us. And we can say, you know what? I can choose the interpretation of this story. I can choose to go back and ruminate over and over again about how this person harmed me or I didn't get what I wanted or whatever. But I can also choose to interpret, and this is where the Sun card can really help us this week if you want to meditate on it. It can give us some positivity. See, again, you're not negating the experience, but what we can do is we can say, you know what? What's something positive that came out of it? I became more aware. I have growth. I know what I don't want. I made different choices, whatever it might be. So, these are some things that we're going to be thinking about and working with. Now, energetically, astrologically, we also have a new moon coming up, and that's happening at the on the weekend, right after the 4th of July. We're also going to be having another full moon in Capricorn around the 20th of July. So those are some things. But we're kicking off in the next 24 hours with Mercury entering the sign of Leo. That gives us a little bit more positivity of the mind, I would hope, in the fact that Leo is ruled by the Sun card. I think that's great. Mercury, mind, mental energy, how we process information, what we share, how we communicate, how we connect. You put the energies of Mercury and Leo together. Even though there's an opposition happening to Pluto and Aquarius at this time, well, there may be courage here in facing some of our deeper truths. Pluto is that Roto-Rooter. You hear me talk about it a lot because it's a real thing. It's more psychological than it is a physical thing. But Pluto brings up all the shit Just like it did this morning for me. Oh, you think you're tough, huh? I'm tired of being tough. Yeah, face it, deal with it. What are you going to do? How do you stay open? How do you stay innocent and soft and gentle when someone's rejecting you or saying something mean to you or not giving you what you want? You know? So here we are. We've got the Mercury entering Leo, opposing Pluto. So we get to face some deep truths and realize that, you know, we need to lead with our hearts and not our heads so that we can really manifest our deeper desires. I was thinking, you know, in the relationship sector, because as you know, one of the things is in being human is relating. And we're all walking through something in our relationships, and no matter what type they are. But very often, we work with, I want something more, especially those who are super sensitive, wanting a little bit more security, a little more safety in our lives, which there's nothing wrong with that. We want to, in order to be more open, in order to have more stability in our relationships, we need safety and security, you know? So we're working with that, but we're wanting, we're there's the desire, if you will, is to manifest something more, deeper connection, deeper intimacy, another experience that confirms, yeah, we're a couple, or yeah, we're in partnership in this business, or yeah, we're, you know, great friends, whatever it might be. This week is going to ask us to ask for what we want and why we want it. I made the personality, condition tendency personality mistake last night. And I have a tendency to default to the way in which I speak, to default to a negative when really I mean positive. So the example being, I said to my beloved, I said, you know, when you say that, it can be very unattractive. And of course, he took offense to it. And it wasn't what I actually meant. And so I had to apologize, which I did, and own it, and reframe it and say, you know what? What I should have said, I really love this about you. And I went into, well, I'll just say I love his sensitivity and I love the way that he shows up for random strangers and treats, he's very kind and friendly and all of that. But he was having a moment with me where it didn't come across, it didn't translate that way. And so I took it personally. You know, the very thing I always say don't do, but I did. I took it personally and then I projected. So what I really wanted was I really wanted him to be gentle and open and friendly and funny with me. But I didn't say that. So guess what? I have a feeling I'll get to practice again this week. Maybe you can relate. Maybe there's something inside of you that needs to be spoken. And what do you really want? It's so easy for us to say what we don't want or to accuse or project like I did. That was the default for me. I'm still working on it. And I, you know, the good news is I practice self-forgiveness on a regular basis. And that moment, I've been practicing self-forgiveness a few times over it because I can really beat myself up, you know. But fortunately, he was gracious about it. But still, these are just some examples that I'm using to hopefully relate to you and let you know you're not alone. So here's the other thing about the week ahead. When we have these conversations, these courageous conversations, then we can manifest. And the thing about manifesting, I was reminded of this when I was listening to, I was actually thumbing around on YouTube for, it was a particular meditation that a friend of mine had given me, and then it dropped me to another series of YouTube channels and things like that. Anyways, some of you are probably familiar with Dolores Cannon and all the work she did on past life work and all of that. Well, there was one on manifestation, and I was like, oh, I have not listened to Dolores Cannon in a long time. Let me just see what she has to say. And it sounded it was very scripted. You could tell that she was reading, or the voiceover was reading, but it was still a good reminder about manifestation. And the way we can truly manifest is, of course, to visualize and be very specific about our visualization. But where we get hung up is that we get attached to the outcome. I mean, you can enjoy the outcome, you can visualize the outcome as being done. But what I mean is we get attached to how it gets done and the timing of it and all of that, instead of just being in the as if it's already happened mode. So that's the first thing. The other thing, and we want to have our desires and our feelings involved with it, right? And then the two principles around manifesting is that we are doing no harm to another, and we're not depriving someone else. We're not depriving ourselves, we're not depriving another, we're not doing any harm. So those are the principles around manifestation. And I bring that up because, again, this Cancer Leo time is inviting us to really come back to bone and say, what do I desire? What do I want to manifest next? And our intuition right now is super heightened because we have all this watery energy, and Cancer is a very intuitive sign. We're all feeling it in some way, shape, or form, and in different areas of our lives. Trust your intuition. I can't tell you, I mean, I know because I do it for a living, it can become so second nature that I can take it for granted, or I can dismiss certain things. And I'm reminding myself, dismiss nothing. I can't tell you how many times in the last couple of days that I have said the same sentence to my beloved at the same time. And he's like, jinx, jinx. And I'm like, you can't jinx me. This is called intuition. I can hear your thoughts. It's okay. But, anyways, dismiss nothing. If you're feeling intuitively, you get that hit, you get that vision, you get that sensation. It's like little cosmic breadcrumbs. You may not get the whole picture in the moment. So don't latch on to it going, oh, it must be this. Oh, I just got a picture of my beloved doing something nefarious or whatever. Hold on. That may not be exactly what's happening. Get the big picture first, but don't dismiss it either. Right? Go, stay open, stay curious. This is the innocence part. When I teach intuition, that is the key. There's two key factors when you start with intuition and strengthening it: grounding and innocence. The minute you think you know something, you're going to get cut down. That's all I can say. Humble, you know, humble innocence. So our intuition's super heightened during this time. So it'll be important to pay attention to that. Be a little psychic sleuth. Investigate all these little insights without getting so attached to, oh, it must be this. Okay? That's going to help us as we make decisions, because more and more is going to get revealed. I mentioned this new moon that's happening on the 5th, 6th of this month, in the next couple of days at the end of the week. So Mercury, Pluto, they've been dancing. Now we got a Cancer new moon. I love new moons every month because it reminds me I get a chance to reset things. If there's something in my life I'm not happy with, that new moon gives me a chance to go, hello, you still have choice here. You can reset it. I don't have to wait for the new moon to do that. But this is the support, as above, so below, as within, so without, right? The Hermetics. This is where we go. So use it. Why not? They're not here just for, as we say when we go skiing, I didn't just dress up for nothing. You know? Well, this new moon involves relationship-oriented Venus at the time. So guess what? I have a feeling most of us are going to have our attention turned towards all things Venusian. Relationship, finances, what we find beautiful, things like that. And creativity, how we give and receive love, all of that is Venus oriented. And Venus being in Cancer, many of us are thinking about where's home? What does it feel like to be loved and to feel like we belong, you know? So use the new moon to remind us to revisit those kinds of things. The new moon also invites us to really cherish the people and things that mean the most to us. Expressing our gratitude and our love through nurturing them. We're also going to have a brief square of Venus in Cancer and Chiron in Aries. Most people, when they hear Chiron, they cringe a little bit, kind of like Pluto, where it's like, oh, great, I'm going to have wounds. I'm going to have pain. Well, let's not give Chiron such a bad rap, you know? It's through the crack that the light enters. That's Chiron. And Chiron becomes the teacher. You know, he taught Apollo. Chiron becomes the healer. And it says, yeah, my grief, my wounds, my bad experiences, they don't have to define me. I can use them to be of benefit, to be a tool for awakening, a tool for becoming an even greater, better human, and to be of greater service. So I would imagine that leading up into the weekend, into this new moon, there might be a few wounds that get scratched. There might be some things that get stirred up. Maybe not for ourselves, maybe it's for others that we're holding space for them. You know, that we are witnessing their pain. And instead of fixing it or taking it away, we're equipping them with the tools, the support that they need to strengthen their muscles, you know. And I would venture to say that a few of you who are out there listening and wanting to know when are you going to have that beloved, that partner? They're coming. And you can have that faith. And this is where I want to remind you about the manifesting, remind you about how powerful you really are, and that you don't have to strive for it. All you have to do is stay open and curious, stay innocent, do your thing, because you don't want to partner with somebody who doesn't resonate with the things you love, you know? I mean, if I had a partner who didn't support my work and didn't support the things I love to do, I couldn't be with them. It just wouldn't work. Doesn't mean we have to do everything together, but there has to be that acceptance piece, you know? So I have to be me. And if they line up, great. And if they don't, they're off doing their other thing. So that's a little mindset to work with. We can get ourselves wrapped around the axle when we're grabbing on, going, why doesn't everybody love me? Why doesn't everybody approve? Because they're not going to, you know. I'll put another pin on the map because I'm not sure if I'll be live next week or not. Oh, no, I won't be. I'm going to do a pre-record. I will do a pre-record and give you something. It may be a celestial wisdom and that sort of thing. But, anyways. I just wanted to talk a little bit about next week as well, because July 11th, we have Venus making her move into Leo. So this week into the beginning of next week, Venus is going to stay in Cancer. And I don't want to skip over these next 10 days that Venus is in Cancer, where we can find nurturing and love. And how do we be a good mother to ourselves and to those who are dependent on us or to those that we just care about? That reminds me of another little experience that happened actually on my birthday morning. I woke up and did my usual meditation, grounding routine, and I said, I checked in, I was like, what do I want to do today for myself? And of course, I had to go to the gym because that's one of my happy places and one of my addictions, if you will. And I got to the gym, and there's a little side road before you get there, and there was a homeless person laying in the middle of the road. And fortunately, I did see her, and but I was worried that other people wouldn't. I mean, it was about 6:30 in the morning, so it wasn't like it was a high traffic time, but it was still one of those things where, you know, I worried. So I didn't get out of my car, but I did pull up to her, ask if she needed anything. She was a bit incoherent, that sort of thing. So I called non-emergency number, and they dispatched a EMT. And but also, as I was sitting there with my hazard lights on, trying to protect her from any other cars, another car drove by, and all, you know, stopped. And this woman did get out and check on her as well. And she got up. The homeless person got up and. You know, she was just hungry, and she just asked if we had any food and things like that. And I told her that the EMT were on their way and that sort of thing. And she ended up walking away, and she was fine. But it was nice also to have another person stop and care and enough to check in with this essence. This is God having an experience, whatever you want to call source, whatever, having an experience through this human being. Whether we judge it as good or bad doesn't matter. It's not my choice. My choice isn't to be in that body and to have that experience, but that was her choice. And maybe, it's a hard life. But it gave me great hope, and it reminded me not to take my life for granted. So it was just one other pin on the map. That happened before skydiving. So it was just one other pin on the map about really being grateful and not taking anything for granted. And I think that's something that I would love for us to continue to anchor in over the next couple of days as Venus moves through Cancer, appreciating the little things. And when Venus moves into Leo on July 11th, we will hopefully start feeling more playful and lighthearted, not so homey and not negating or giving away the nurturing, but adding that playfulness and lightness to all the nurturing we've been doing. There's a brief square to Pluto, so that creates a little dynamic tension, bringing up again some maybe some desires, some things we could look around and say, I don't have this in my relationship. I want more. Well, that could challenge us, of course, especially if the other person isn't able, willing, it wasn't the right time for them yet to give it to us, whatever it might be. Power struggles can often happen during a square, especially with Venus and Pluto, within our close relationships. But remember, the tension, the dynamic tension or squares aren't always bad. Sometimes they can be without that tension, without the squaring off, if you will, we wouldn't have a propulsive force to break through whatever has been stagnant. If you're at a place where you're like, I'm going to give this person X amount of time, and if they don't respond or give me what I want by this time, I'm out, or I'm going to make a change. Okay, well, this may be a time for that. You get to choose. You get to decide what you want in relationships, who you want to spend time with, how you want to go about it. No one is stuck. I'm sorry, you're not. None of us are. We do get a choice. There's that job that you're just like, God, I'm so miserable. I have to do it though because it only pays the bills. Well, you have a choice. Start looking for something else. Well, I've been looking forever. I've had these conversations. Don't worry. I've been looking forever and I can't find anything. Don't give up. This may be the breakthrough. That frustration, that tension can help break through to go, you know what? Maybe I'm looking in the wrong places. Let me find something else to do. Just get my foot in the door somewhere, whatever it might be. So again, don't curse the tension, because that can really help us manifest. And the other side of that is that when we're manifesting these deep desires, be careful that we don't go into the when's this shoe going to drop or is this too good to be true. Stay present in the moment. Take nothing for granted and really use that time for appreciation. So this is where our gratitude practice comes in. And remind yourself, you deserve good things. We all do. We've put our dues in. I mean, if I was standing in front of you in a group and I asked you to raise your hand for all those who've had the shit kicked out of them and stood back up and got resilient and kept moving forward, I bet every single one of us could do that. You should be proud of yourself. We should all be proud of ourselves. We are doing this dance. Sometimes we're stepping on our own feet or each other's feet doing it, but God damn it, we're dancing. Yeah, I get a little fired up over it. I get that from my father. I proudly get that from my father, who's a very animated, passionate communicator, especially with things that he believes, And then when I was talking to him the other day, I said, you know what? I used to feel bad about being accused of being so passionate, because sometimes people say, oh, you sound arrogant. Well, my intention's not to be arrogant. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal saying I'm an expert at this. But what I can tell you is I've got plenty of experience being myself and making my own choices and my own decisions. So guess what? I can be passionate about it. And I'm going to communicate it. That's called confidence. I'm confident in owning all my good choices and all my bad choices. And you know what? It's making me the human being I am. And I just want to say kudos to all of you, proud of all of you, for being the humans that you are, because you enrich not only my life, but each other's and the people that you interact with and that you are going through every single day with the intention to do no harm, becoming more awake and more aware and more kind. And we can't do that without experiences. So even if we don't like our experiences, or we've made a choice or said something we regret or whatever, guess what? Right now, all we have is this present moment. Make a different choice moving forward. That next phone call, next email, next text, next conversation. Be really intentional with it. Speaking of intention, I know I need to sign off now because it's a few minutes before noon, and there's all kinds of other wonderful programming here at 1T Radio to get to. But I was just reminded when I said the word intentional that I'm leading an intentional practice group for Nine Gates Mystery School in July. I'm very excited about it. It's our second one. 7 weeks of practicing intentionally with one another, and we start with grounding. And this is a group of individuals who say, yeah, I want to be more awake and more aware, and I want to make a difference, and I want to do it intentionally. I don't want life just happening to me. So I'm very excited about that. All right, you guys, I really hope that this show has made some benefit for you, giving you a little nugget. And please come find me at 1-2-Listen and stay tuned for all the other great shows. I'm looking forward to connecting with you. And thank you. Just thank you for you. Have a great week, everyone.